across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
It's another sad day in America as we watch liberalism destroy decency and democracy far more effectively than any Nazis or communist ever could. You can kill the music there, Jeff. Today, California Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown signed legislation basically saying, you may use whatever bathroom you feel comfortable in, regardless of sex, in all of the state's public school restrooms and some public institutions. So all I have to do is feel a little feminine to use the ladies' restroom. This is the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. I'm Lair Adams, and this is the perversion our society is crumbling under. It's called progressivism. Oh, and by the way, did you hear about that phony Benghazi scandal? Yeah, we now know over 400 phony surface-to-air missiles are missing from the annex near where our ambassador was killed. Missiles obtained from Libya and illegally being transported to Syria by Barack and Hillary. Now, folks, listen. Listen to my phony outrage. My co-host believes the president not knowing about all of this is about as phony as his birth certificate. Christopher Hart!
Oh, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries, and we are live right here in Central Florida. We've got another action-packed show lined up for you tonight. Yeah, you see those missiles? No, they were on that airplane the other day with the dog. You know, you remember the dog? We had to fly the dog separate from the first family up to the vacation resort up there in Martha's Vineyard. So that was all just a ruse. It wasn't really the dog. That's where the missiles were, the missing missiles.
Well, the missing missiles, because the CIA doesn't know where they are.
Yeah, well, maybe
the CIA doesn't know how they got where they got in their hands, right. And the CIA doesn't know anything.
No, of course they don't. They never know anything, or at least they never say they know anything. But a man who does know something is Abe Katzman. He's our man in Jerusalem, and we're going to go to him in just a moment. Perhaps he knows where those missiles are, but we've got a lot to talk about with Abe, so we're going to get started with him right away tonight. But before we do, we have a caller on the line who called the show yesterday with a question for Dan Webster, and he has now evidently a comment about the question that he asked Dan Webster. And this would be Robert from Orlando. Thank you for calling back tonight, Robert. And what's your issue you have an issue with Dan's answer to your question, I take it. First of all, what was your question, and what's the issue you have with his answer?
Chris, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling back.
My question was, what is the end game of these congressional hearings? Now, let me tell you something, and I was very disappointed in you because you went along with everything he said. Now, what he said was, well, we had the IRS investigations, and we did lay off some people, a couple of people. And we did fire somebody, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. Well, let me tell you something. They don't have to get to the bottom of it. They're already at the top of it, and they don't do anything about it. So all I'm saying is, here's my bottom line, Chris, is that you were going along saying, yeah, Congressman Webster, yeah, well, of course you're right. You're going to get to the bottom of it, blah, blah, blah. Here's my final point. Two final points, real quick. My final point is, if I ever decide to commit a felony, which I will never do, but if I decide to, I want my court in front of Congress, because nothing will happen to me. Number two, if Eva is listening and I decide to run for president, I want her to vote for me.
I'm sure if you're in the right place on abortion, you'll be the first in line anyway. But first of all, let me respond to this. I think you're sort of shortchanging, if you will, Congressman Webster's answer. He did say, yes, they've accomplished a little bit so far, but he also said that they intend to be methodical about this and continue with this and find and take this to wherever it's going to go. And pardon me, Robert. Pardon me, you're going to have to let me respond, okay, and then I'll let you respond in kind, okay? So basically, what more can the Republicans in Congress do but hold hearings and put the truth out there for the American public to deal with it as it is? Then perhaps use it next year in the election process. Now, if they're up to that, then something will come of this. But you have to have the hearings. It's a grind out process. It's not, you know, you can throw a touchdown pass and it's all over. You got to grind this out a little bit every day. And you can't expect to make a lot of progress all at once, especially when you're getting such a pushback, not just from the administration and his supporters, but from the media. This is not going to be an easy task.
Exactly. Remember, you've got number two, Robert. It's a three-legged stool, and they only have one leg.
What about Eric Holder, who's found in contempt of Congress? What happened to him? Nothing. Nothing.
Well,
what happened to Lois Lerner? She lied to Congress. What happened to her?
Robert, this movie's only half over. You're saying I don't like the ending, but it's not done yet. It's not done yet. Eric Holder serves at the pleasure of the President of the United States. Okay?
Yeah.
So either he fires him or nothing happens to him. Okay? That's the bottom line. That's the reality that we're dealing with. What would you have Congress do? Violate the Constitution like the president does in like kind?
Where is the finality on congressional hearings if they don't go anywhere, because they're not going anywhere?
All I can say to you, Robert, is, hey, okay, all right, I'm sorry, Robert. Thank you very much. All I can say to you is keep the faith, my man. This movie is only half over, if that. And you're disappointed with the result. Just hang in there, my friend. Hang in there, my friend. This is not going to happen overnight. Let's go to Abe Katzman, who's in Jerusalem, and who just heard that. Abe, you just heard that. What do you think about it?
Well, I'm not disappointed in you. Let's start with that.
Well, thank you, and we're never disappointed with you as well.
You know, I think it's I understand the frustration, but the frustration there is, more than anything, really ought to be aimed at the media, which ought to be all over this, all over these phony scandals.
They're complacent.
They're not. I mean, Congress is limited in what it can do, and you can complain about doing things methodically, but that's how Congress has to do things. The media can jump out there, can be all over the place. They can make accusations. They can do a little digging. They don't have to do things slowly or through subpoenas or anything. No, they really, there's no excuse, and except that they are. They're complacent, and they've chosen sides.
Well, let's face it, there's nothing they can do unless they take the Senate coming up. That's the only power that they will have to do anything.
See, I actually see a positive side to this being a slow, methodical, grinded-out process. That way, if you will, if you want to look at this in sheer political terms, it keeps the issue alive.
Well, and Dan Webster won't let it go away.
No.
That's the thing.
Right.
He keeps doggedly pushing at it.
That's right.
That's why he needs to be complimented and supported for it.
Perhaps if Robert had seen the passion on Congressman Webster's face last night, which I had not seen before,
yeah,
but he was
right,
very
Chris.
Passionate
you're
last
right.
night, I think Robert might have had a little bit more confidence in where Dan's going with this. But all I can say to Robert is hang in there, man. This game ain't over yet.
And that's the most fighting spirit I've ever seen out of Congressman Webster.
All right. Hey, Abe, let's turn it to subjects going on over there, because we have, once again, a lot to talk about. The prisoner release, sure. I believe, started today, didn't it?
It's actually starting The actual release is actually starting now. They were waiting to release the until after midnight to release the prisoners, hoping that it would perhaps mute the reception that they would get in the Palestinian areas. They really don't want to see a hero's welcome. I mean, it's a vain hope because they're going to get one.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. I mean, one reason they're going to get one is that for Mahmoud Abbas, this is a big victory, and he has his own internal politics to worry about, especially the never-ending battle between Fatah and Hamas. So if he, as Fatah, was able to get these prisoners released, that's a big victory. He will rub Hamas's noses in it, and he's going to do everything he can to play up the heroism of the people that he just got out. Now, the heroics, you realize, the Israeli papers today are just full of, they've got the itemized list of each of these terrorists that's being released.
And charges.
And the details of their crimes. And then these just heart-wrenching stories from the victims or victims' families. It's really sickening. These people who, somebody who kills, who hacks to death, comes up from behind with an axe and hacks to death an old Holocaust survivor. He's a political prisoner. I mean, no offense, but, if he's a political prisoner, what does that make Mandela and Sakharov and Martin Luther King? You know, it's an insult not just to the victims to call them political prisoners, but to real political prisoners. It's probably a bigger insult.
That's right, and I know Chris will disagree with me, but Abe, one way to take care of that is something we have here called the death penalty.
Well,
yeah,
someone like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
I mean, these are terrorists that were captured alive.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before. They've kind of gone down the slippery slope. Once upon a time, they would not have made a deal like this, and now it seems like they make these deals all the time. These are supposed to be, and they're not even, it's not even part of some kind of final arrangement. It's, under the guise of what they call a confidence-building measure. And, whose confidence? Especially, you see what this does to the nation of Israel, and then you see how these people are received on the Palestinian side. How does that restore any confidence in anything?
I know. I don't live there, and I'm scared.
Well, obviously, yeah. You're absolutely right, Abe. They are going to get a hero's welcome. Doesn't matter what time of day, night that they get out, they are going to get a hero's welcome, and it's going to be all over the Internet. There's going to be no question about that. The media will try to hold the line on it. They will try not to expose it, but we'll know that it's going to be there. We'll know that the pain is going to be felt by the people of Israel, and this is something that seems to be being forgotten, if you will, by John Kerry and this administration as they begin to put these talks and all back together. Tell me if I'm wrong, and perhaps you've heard of this poll, but I saw a poll in the paper last week, and I don't have it with me, and I don't remember the source of the poll, but it was a poll of Jewish Israelis. And in the poll, they are overwhelmingly against pretty much everything that is on the table here. They do not want Jerusalem to be split. They do not want the borders moved back to 1967. They don't want any of the settlements to be removed. And overwhelming numbers. And aren't they the ones who are going to have to ultimately live with and therefore approve any deals?
They are. And I think that in that, included in that list are people like Prime Minister Netanyahu and most of the people in his cabinet. They also don't want, they're not planning on making, I certainly hope they're not planning on making concessions along those lines. These are talks that are really much more the creation of John Kerry and Barack Obama than they are the result of any kind of urgency that the parties themselves feel. This really seems to be, this is John Kerry's party. And, I think it's wrong to make the talks themselves the priority.
It's news candy.
Like, that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
Basically news candy.
Well, this is my it's my opinion. John Kerry wants to have a distinguished career as Secretary of State so that he can outshine Hillary Clinton for the 2016 nomination to run for president again. I think that that's what he's up to. And perhaps Barack Obama is, you know, wants to polish up his legacy a little bit here. But it seems to me, as you just pointed out, that they're forgetting about the parties that are involved. And they're the ones that are going to actually have to make the deal.
Yeah, if John Kerry needs this to burnish his presidential credentials, I'd really prefer that he focus on another country.
Yeah, well,
he's not doing, you know, this sort of thing. So far, people are not pleased. Interestingly, I know we had spoken before about the possible political impact on Prime Minister Netanyahu because of this unpopular prisoner.
He does not
seem to be taking a hit.
Well, hold that thought, because I want to talk about that when we come back. We've got to take a break, Abe, and then we're going to keep you to the bottom of the hour, so don't go away. And, folks, I hope you won't go away either, and not you either, Robert. I hope you're still out there, Robert. Hang in there, man. The game ain't over yet.
That's right, folks. And you want to talk about outrage? We are the outrage notifiers here, the American Adversaries.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, welcome back, folks. That's right, The American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams back with you, and our man Abe Katzman from Jerusalem is talking with us right now. Abe, you were saying right before the break that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not suffering in the polls so far from this prisoner release. Do you think that might change after people actually see the release itself?
That's probably going to be sort of a low point for him. But I think the attitude of people, there is certain outrage, but I think there's almost some degree of sympathy for him and the position that he's in. I mean, there have been plenty of jokes. I don't know if you know, he had a hernia operation.
Yeah, I figured it's because he's doing all the heavy lifting while Obama goes on vacation.
Oh, very good. Good one. anyway.
By the way, I take it the surgery was okay, I take it.
Yes, it was. But,
okay.
But there were they weren't letting him out of the hospital because they couldn't find his backbone. you know, a lot of jokes along those lines. But I think that when it comes down to it, even though people are a little bit, sort of feel like they really do not like this, but they realize, I think sort of the consensus is that he was stuck in a position where he had to do something, and that his choices were either the prisoner release, or freezing all construction activity over the 1967 lines, which would include Jerusalem, or agreeing to negotiate based on the 1967 borders.
Well, here's the important question.
Yeah.
Do they blame Barack Obama? Let's face it, he's the one behind this. Do they understand that? If they're not blaming Beatty for it, I mean, do they understand the reasoning as to why he had his arm twisted?
Yeah, they understood that he had his arm twisted. I think the blame is put more on Kerry than Obama, which I think is a mistake.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like he's running his own foreign policy here. But especially after Obama came here and said lots of nice things, people that don't pay such close attention to American politics are somewhat more favorably disposed toward him, and they're not going to look to blame him right away the way that they would have, let's say, sometime during his last term when it was one antagonistic move against Israel after another. I think that will probably that's probably a situation that will recreate itself. I think we're going to see that kind of attitude again. Because I think after a little while, people are going to realize this is the Obama administration. It's not just John Kerry.
Yeah, and this, I want to play a sound bite, which is just a typical thing that reinforces that attitude that you were just talking about. Jeff, if you could tee it off for us, please, real quick.
You have a position on whether what happened in Egypt was a coup.
We have determined that we do not need to make a determination.
Isn't that the same as not having a position?
I will let you parse yourself.
Abe, have you ever been told to go parse yourself, more or less?
Go parse yourself.
But doesn't that just emphasize the point you're trying to make and what Lair was saying? I mean, that we can all see who's duplicitous, who's two-faced, who's you know, making up excuses left and right, determined that they don't need to make a determination. I mean, haven't they ever read Sartre? Didn't Sartre say even when you choose not to decide, you still made a choice?
Yeah, there's, although, you know, in the diplomatic sphere, I understand that ambiguity has value.
Well, sure, especially in this case.
Sometimes, but they're a little clumsy in terms of it. This is not, you know, this is not slick British-style diplomacy where they, you know, they
right.
just...
Sure is.
On the other hand, you know, John Kerry is... he's also been using things like this.
Abe,
hold that thought. We'll keep you a minute or two after the break.
Yep.
You have a position on whether what happened in Egypt was a coup.
We have determined that we do not need to make a determination.
Isn't that the same as not having a position?
I will let you parse yourself.
I just love that. I will let you parse yourself. You better not do that. You'll go blind. Okay, Abe. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Christopher
I thought Clint Eastwood pointed out you can't do that.
I think he was talking about something
the
else.
The Republican
there,
National Convention.
I think he was talking about something else. Anyway, we have Abe Katzman on the line. If you'd like to join us, 407-774-8255 is the number. Anyway, Abe, I just wanted to let you be able to finish your thought on that. You were responding about John Kerry.
Yeah, I was saying that he's using language, which I understand why he's using it, but he's not helping matters. He's calling, for instance, Israel announced a bunch of new construction, about half of which is in Jerusalem. And he, when they asked him about it, he said it's the U.S. position that all settlements are illegitimate. Now, he's talking about parts of Jerusalem. It is not the U.S. position that Jerusalem be given to the Palestinians. So I don't know why he's making a statement like that. On the other hand, I know it sounds bad, but illegitimate is kind of a meaningless adjective. He won't. The American position is that these are legal, but they don't like them, so they make up this word illegitimate.
Right.
I mean, they didn't make up the word, but they.
They made up that new use of it.
Yeah. So it sounds bad, and I think it just puts Israel in an ever tougher bargaining position when he says things like that.
It really does, because basically what you're dealing with here is a man, and an administration in general, that they think they are a lot smarter than they actually are. And that is the most dangerous kind of person to be around. You know what I'm saying, Abe?
I know.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this president would give away California back to the Mexicans, and that wouldn't bother me too much anyway.
Well,
but
only would the Mexicans be able to use the ladies' room?
Would they want it? That's right. Oh, now let me ask you that. In Israel, if you're a 13-year-old kid, young prepubescent or pubescent boy, and you just want to go into the girls' room, is that allowed?
It's frowned upon.
Thank God.
Oh, it's encouraged in California.
All right. Okay, Abe, we're going to have to save that one for another day. Thank you so very much for all your
great job,
your great insight and your great wisdom.
Always a pleasure.
Always a privilege for us as well. Thank you so much, Abe. We'll talk to you next week or in the meantime if anything jumps up.
Remember, it doesn't matter whether there's a skirt or a pair of pants on the door.
Okay. And remember, Abe, don't go around parsing yourself now.
I don't do that.
Okay. All right, God bless you, Abe, and good night. Okay, that is Abe Katzman, and he has been talking with us from Jerusalem, where it is past midnight tonight. Okay, Robert has called back. He's evidently still dissatisfied.
Thanks for hanging on, Robert.
So we'll go back to Robert for a couple of minutes, but I want you folks to hang on because we have another special guest coming up, Bobby Downs. He's president of Echo Light Studios, and they've got a great new movie coming out called The Redemption of Harry Myers. But real quickly, Robert, you got a minute.
I wanted to talk to A, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. We didn't know that. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Chris, listen. When there's lawlessness in the federal government, especially when it comes out of the Justice Department, what do you do about taking care of that? That's not going to happen. That is the problem with this country.
Well, part of the problem we have is that conservatives tend to want to try to work within the law. And what you're talking about, you're actually quite right.
Yeah.
But the other side wants to work without, not within the bounds of the
without
law.
Without rules.
So obviously they're going to have an advantage. But Robert,
so bottom line is we're screwed.
No, at some point, I don't believe that. I believe that the adversarial form of government, our founding fathers knew that people like Eric Holder existed and would come along. They knew that people like Barack Obama existed and would come along and eventually get the reins of power in this country. So they devised a form of government to allow for that. We just have to allow that to play itself out. Believe me, the adversarial form of government will take care of all this business. Barack Obama's friends are going to end up being his worst enemies. You mark my words. This will happen. It will happen.
Well, okay. One thing I'll agree with Robert on is, Robert, you're right about one thing. Would you have a media that is totally in the pocket of this man, that changes so much, because our forefathers didn't have that to concern themselves with.
That is one thing that's going to come down, but in the meantime, I tell you what, when you have lawlessness like this, nothing else matters, because everybody can just do whatever they want and nobody cares.
No, first of all, you're wrong. Obviously, people do care, or you wouldn't care yourself. So that in and of itself is the beginning. That's the spark. That's the little ember. That's all we need, that there's enough people out there who care, and we will take care of business in due time. All I can say to you, Robert, is please keep the faith, my friend. Keep the faith. Have faith that our founding fathers were smarter than this crowd up there today. I've got to let you go, though, because I've got to get to my next guest. But
you
God bless
you. Adversarial.
Okay. Well,
Great job. You're right.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, very, very much, Robert. We appreciate you being out there. Great phone calls. We appreciate it. Okay, folks, I'd like to get to our next guest. And once again, we are live this afternoon. I'm Christopher Hart and Lair Adams. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. 407-774-8255 is the number. We've got another special guest lined up for you here this afternoon. This man co-founded and is now the president of Echo Light Studios. You can find out more about them you can find out some of the movies that they've produced at christiancinema.com, but they've got a great new movie coming out. It's called The Redemption of Henry Myers. So let me get right to Bobby Downs. Thank you, Bobby, for being on our show today. We really appreciate it.
It truly is my pleasure to be here with you today.
All right. Thank you very much. Listen, I looked at the trailer of the movie, and first of all, I was told that this is a movie about Christian redemption, if you will, and I was a bit surprised to find out that it's a Western.
Isn't it crazy? A Christian Western.
Yeah, but it looked like a very good movie.
Well, it's a very a strong movie that allows us, because it's a period piece, to give a little more information, and inspiration than you normally would. And it's such an inspiring movie. We've done some test screens already with the film and in advance of releasing it nationwide theatrically, and we're very excited about the response we're getting.
Now, when is this going to be released nationwide?
We're looking at releasing the movie this next spring in 2014.
Okay.
Right now, we're working on releasing a movie called Seasons of Gray. It's a movie that was produced out of a church in Dallas, Texas, Watermark Church, and it's the modern-day telling of the story of Joseph right out of the Bible. So it's a really interesting movie.
See, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. Seasons of Gray, now that's getting ready to be released now?
In September, yes. The middle of September, September 20th, is when that will launch nationwide in theaters. And people can go to seasonsofgray.com, the website, or echolight.com, echolight.com, and find out more information about Seasons of Gray.
How do you find your scripts for these movies? Obviously that one you took from the Bible itself, but like, for instance, The Redemption of Henry Myers and some of the other movies you've produced, where do you find your work?
One of the mission or the vision of Echo Light Studios is to work with artists that are Christians, that are believers, that have a heart for communicating God's heart through the motion picture art and through storytelling, and do it with excellence. You know, we believe that in order to gain access to different marketplaces, you have to do it with excellence. You have to raise the bar. You have to meet the expectation of the consumer. And for so long, many years, that's the biggest complaint I've heard in the Christian community, is that faith-based films are cheesy or that they're not very well done. And we're going to change that. We've come in working on these films for the last 2 years, even though, you know, Echo Light Studios sounds new. We've been working for the last 2 years to build up our pipeline of movies that we've been developing and producing, and now are in post-production, and you're going to begin to see these movies roll out into theaters nationwide. And we're so glad to have someone like Senator Rick Santorum as our CEO championing these films and letting people know about it, because, as you know, you've got to have a big megaphone to let people know
sure.
that movies exist.
Absolutely. Now, Bobby, Larry Adams here. My question for you has something to do with that. I'm sure you found that there's a Christian stigma to saying, well, this won't be popular, it won't sell, it won't make money. Or you have stars or actors that don't want to necessarily be associated with a Christian film. Do you find a lot of that?
Well, I think, you know, the world goes around, you know, when it comes to the secular world, it money makes the world go around. And so nobody seems to have a political agenda or any kind of agenda when it comes to money. Money trumps agenda. And we've found that theater owners and actors, when you can pay them enough money, they will all jump on board your train. And we've found this time and time again. And so it becomes very interesting. It's an open market. It's a free market. And all it requires is for us to bring to the table a level of excellence and quality, and that will capture a creative's attention. It will capture the attention of the theaters that we go to. And so that's really what we're trying to do at Echo Light Studios, is we're trying to elevate the game and bring into the fold all of these talented young people that are around the country that say, hey, I'm a believer, I'm an artist, I want to do something with this. And so we're taking that talent and we're planting seeds across the country. I'll give you three examples of three areas where we're planting seeds in young artists. One of them is at the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival, which was held earlier this spring, and it's an annual event. We gave $250,000 to the winner of the 10-minute short film contest that they had there. And then just recently at Liberty University, we have a multi-million-dollar five-year deal with Liberty University and their cinematic arts program, where that university has spent $20 million to build out the physical location there for their students to learn how to make movies and to learn the entire business. Well, we added production budgets to have students learn by doing, where they get in, make a movie, and we feed the staff there with professionals from the industry that know how to make movies and mentor them. And we just finished our very first production at Liberty University with the students there, and it's a feature-length film, and it's just tremendous. And we plan on releasing that also in 2014. Then a third area we invested in, just this last weekend, there was a speed filmmaking contest held this last summer in July and August, and they announced the winner of that contest this last weekend in Los Angeles, and that winner we gave a production budget of up to $1 million for the person that won that contest. And they were so excited, and I'm telling you, the cream always rises to the top, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
We want to work with the best people on the planet.
Folks can find out more about all of this at echolight.com, you said?
Yes, echolight.com.
Okay, that's echolight.com. You mentioned Rick Santorum is your CEO. How did that come about?
Well, I started Echo Light Studios with my partners out of California, Chris Morrow and Gin Fukunaga, out of Dallas, and 2 years ago. And it's because we had a heart and a vision for creating a vertically integrated Christian movie studio where we do everything from A to Z, meaning we would provide the production financing, we provide the marketing, we provide the distribution and the script development, all of those things vertically integrated. Because right now it's a pretty fragmented process in Hollywood.
In the industry, right.
In the industry. And so we wanted that vertically integrated to control the content and to control the quality, which I mentioned earlier was really important to us. Well, that, in that process, as we are going out and sharing the vision with people, some friends of ours introduced us to Rick Santorum, and he came on board on our board, and literally, and for about a year, we were working together just as a, from a board capacity. And as he began to go out and stomp and talk about what Echo Light Studios was doing, what it was going to do, how it was going to impact culture through the art. And that arts is upstream from culture, and that politics is downstream from culture. And that if we influence and impact the arts, we could literally shape the world. You know, Aristotle said, if you give me your storytellers of today, I could shape this generation. And so that's really the message that Rick goes out there and shares with people. And as he's done that, he said, you know what, I need to be squarely in the middle of this. I want to dive in headlong into this thing. And we welcomed him aboard as CEO of Echo Light Studios, and it's been tremendous. In fact, we were just doing an influencer screen of Seasons of Grey, the movie, in Dallas today to a packed-out theater, and there, and he was communicating the message. It's so on point for what we want to do, what we want to bring to the space-based films and to the community.
All right. Seasons of Grey. Can you, once again, you said that that's going to open around September 20th around the nation?
Yes.
Is there a movie trailer that people can go and see that?
Yes. In fact, if you go to Echolight.com or SeasonsOfGrey.com, you can watch the trailer there.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, listen, we have a caller on the line who has a question for you. Okay, so let's go to Sherry. Thank you for calling tonight, Sherry, and your question for Bobby Downs.
Yeah, Bobby, is your brother Kevin?
Yes, that is.
Your brother is such a wonderful actor, him and David White.
Thank you.
And I've seen all the movies, even when David and him were, you know, young teenagers. And you worked in collaboration with some of their movies, too, didn't you, behind the scenes?
Oh, absolutely. Every single one of them. I started out in filmmaking in 1999. Prior to that, I was a missionary in over 20 countries, serving in orphanages and prisons, hospitals, anywhere I could take the arts and communicate God's heart through these arts. I saw people's lives being impacted. And in 1999, my brother Kevin, who you mentioned, was working in Hollywood as an actor and a producer. And he said, I think I want to make a Christian movie. And I said, let's do it. We'll put all of our resources together. And we made our very first movie in 1999 for $80,000. And it's a movie called The Moment After.
I got it. And The Moment After, too.
The Moment After, and it has David White and Kevin in it. And since then, we've made over a dozen feature films. We started a website called ChristianCinema.com that has over 3,500 movies on it today. It's the largest, aggregated place for faith-based films that you can watch and you can stream and you can rent them. So it's been a really exciting. The last 15 years have been tremendous to see the progress that we've made in Christian filmmaking, from the quality to the type of stories to the elevation of the budgets. And, you know, what's really exciting, too, is you see guys like my brother Kevin or David White, Candace Cameron, Stephen Baldwin. You see a community of artists starting to get together and being developed, a pool of talent that we really need. You know, it's one thing to be an actor, but it's another thing to be an actor who is saved and who has a testimony of where God's brought them in their life so that they can stand up in front of an audience when they get a microphone in front of their face to talk about the power of God's love. And that's really what we're interested in doing.
They're not any cheesy films. But do you know the Kendrick brothers?
Alex and Stephen Kendrick are champions of the faith. And
they are wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, they make their movies, and everybody's a volunteer on their movie.
Mm-hmm. And it takes a community. It takes a village to raise a child, right? And I always think of movies as a child because you typically have to put them through school, through college, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that go into a single movie, and it's a lot like raising children.
Yeah, well, there's so many good Christian movies out today, and I just don't know why nobody's, paying more attention to them, you know, like the theaters and everything. But anyway,
yeah.
I enjoy your work, and I will look forward to seeing the next two movies when they come out, Bobby. It was nice talking to you.
Thanks. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call, Sherry. And we have time for maybe one more caller if somebody out there would like to call in, 407-774-8255. You mentioned, Bobby, that ChristianCinema.com is where people can go to find a whole list of Christian films. Is that the best place to go to get your films, ChristianCinema.com?
Yeah, it really is. You know, when we started ChristianCinema.com with one movie back in 1999, we had no idea that, you know, 15 years or so later, it would become the largest collection of Christian movies and faith-based films on the planet. And we scoured the earth for over a decade looking for every single film that was ever made by a person of faith and that reflected our faith and our values. And we found that it was the whole market was very fragmented. There wasn't some sort of unified, you know, outlet to find these movies. And so we've curated this entire list of movies where you can buy them. We just launched a streaming platform where you can stream the movies on your big screen TV or on your mobile device. So that's very exciting. And I'm telling you, and you can see the trailers there. You can comment on the movie, give reviews.
Yeah, we have a question coming up here by a caller, but I got to ask you a question. Where do you see, Bobby, where do you see our country going? I mean, I see our country heading such down a path that is so negative and so bad. Every bit helps. I understand that. But
I keep telling people around here to try to keep the faith, Bobby. Help me out.
Well, you know what? You know, Echo Light, the name Echo Light, I'll tell you about the background with how we came up with that name. We feel like it only takes a small amount of light to displace a whole lot of darkness. And movies
Good
are
point.
A great example of that. You know, you take something that's a completely dark room and you shine a light up on a screen and you tell a story. And stories have been told around sources of light for eons, right? You know, Moses around a campfire told stories. You know, these you know, the movie making is a great way to shine a light in a dark place. And we, each of us, you know, who know God and have his life in us, are a light and salt on this earth. And that's what we desire to do. We want to lift up his name, and we want to share the hope that we have in us. And I believe that we can get through this, you know, the time that we're in, because God's on our side. And you know, who can be against us when God's for you? And that's really our message. And we want to inspire people. We want to lift up God's name, and we want to let people know that they are loved and that that God has a purpose for them.
Hey, Bobby, are you looking for ideas for new movies? Because I've got one. I've been promoting around here the idea of forgiveness after the Trayvon Martin decision came down. What should we do? Where should we go from here? How about people forgiving one another? How about making a movie about forgiveness and show the power of forgiveness in personal lives and public lives, if you will?
Yeah, forgiveness is a really powerful theme, and it's real, right? That's why we like at Echo Light Studios, we like to tell true stories, because, you know, true stories seem to resonate with people. Historically, we've seen, you know, the box office data that shows us that people are really interested in hearing true stories. And the power of forgiveness, the power of a life redeemed. The fact that we live in a broken in a fallen world, a broken world where, you know, you don't have to look too far to realize that, you know, our bodies as we age are breaking and falling apart.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Our systems are falling apart.
That's right.
But God takes the messes that we find ourselves in, and he is called the Redeemer in the Bible.
Absolutely.
And I think to take him at his word that he can take those things that were meant for our harm, and he can turn them into something good, beauty rising from the ashes. And that's the basis for great storytelling. I always say that God is a three-act God, meaning the first act of a movie, you know, any great movie has three acts. The first act is the setup. The second act is where you discover what the problem is. And then the third act is where the problem is resolved. And the solution, right? The Redeemer, the resolution comes in at the third act. Well, you would never get up at the beginning of a movie, the first act, and say, well, I don't like this problem. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to check out. I'm going to, you know, forget my $8. Well, in our lives, we seem to do that every once in a while when problems come our way or if there's things happening in the country and the nation, we say, well, this is a problem I don't like. I'm going to check out of here. Well, we never do that with movies because the story hasn't been finished being told yet. We haven't gotten to the third act yet. And God shows up in the third act, and he shows us how he's at work on our behalf to redeem what he started. And the Bible says that God is faithful to complete the work that he began in us. And that is what the basis for great storytelling is. And as believers, as those created by God, we should be telling the best stories on the planet, right?
Amen.
I mean, the church used to be the center of the art, you know, centuries ago. When look at the Sistine Chapel and Michelangelo.
That's right. You're absolutely
now,
right.
Now, today, Where are the art? Where are the artists?
That's why I think what you're doing is such a great thing. Listen, I've got a fellow who's been holding, and unfortunately, Eddie, I'm out of time, but if you can make your question in 10 seconds or less, what's your question for Bobby, please? Thanks
My
for calling.
My question is that I've written a book. I'm going to get it published. It's called Bigot. It's about Jonah in the Old Testament. The fact that
okay,
he,
I get the idea. Can you help him out, Bobby? How can Eddie contact you to let you know about his story?
Yeah, go to Echolight.com. There's a place where you could inquire about submitting your ideas or your stories to us, and we'd love to take a look at them.
Bobby, we're going to have to. Okay, thank you, Eddie, for your call. We're all out of time, Bobby, but I want to thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. We'll have to have you back real soon, maybe when Seasons of Grey does its premiere here in September.
Absolutely. Let's do it again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless the work that you're doing. We need it so very, very bad. We'll be right back.